American beef cattle have been exhibiting some weird behavior lately, and some scientists are blaming the weight-gaining supplements that have become a popular mix-in with the animal's food. The makers of such additives, known as beta-agonists, claim the drugs are perfectly safe, but a number of scientists have raised enough concerns that one of the drug makers, Merck Animal Health, has temporarily suspended sales of its weight-gaining feed additives called Silmax. And Tyson Foods, which is a major U.S. meat processor, has suspended purchases of animals that have been fed these drugs. Joining us now is Dr. Temple Grandin, professor of animal science. Temple, excuse me for just one second. Hi, Temple. I just got a little tickle in my throat.
Okay.
Dr. Grandin is professor of animal science at Colorado State University, and a leading livestock industry consultant. Welcome back to our show.
It's great to be here.
What do the cows being fed drugs like Zilmax look like?
Well, I started seeing some strange problems at the meat packing plants, and I want to emphasize that my observations are after they've gone through the stress of transport from the feed yard to the meat packing plant. And in 2006, and this is after beta agonists were first introduced to the market, I had never seen these problems prior to the introduction of beta agonists, and I've been in cattle for 40 years working on improving the slaughter plants. And what you see, especially in hot weather, is a cattle that act sore-footed. They act like the floor is hot. They don't want to put their weight on it. They're stiff, and some of the animals show some heat stress symptoms. Tends to be very variable. Half of the cattle in a group will be okay, and some animals much more severely affected. But I've seen this happening in a number of plants in different parts of the country with all the different types of cattle. And in the animals that are affected, it's a severe animal welfare problem.
Now, what's led to the growing popularity of beta agonists? Is it because cattle ranchers have seen grain prices go up in the past couple of years?
Well, beta agonists have put a lot of extra weight on, and it's not done at the ranch. Let me just explain a few things about cattle production. You have cows and calves out on pasture at the ranch, and the calf is raised for half its life on the ranch, and then it spends the other half of its life in the feed yard. And the beta agonist would only be fed the last 20 days prior to slaughtering the animal to put on some extra muscle bulk, and it puts quite a bit of extra muscle bulk on. But unfortunately, we've seen some of these problems. There was a recent meeting put on by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and Lily Edwards from the JBS company showed video of some of the cattle arriving at their plants, and she used words like tender-footed, seem lethargic, have no energy, and that one plant was reporting that about 25% of the cattle had this problem, and another plant, about a third of the cattle had this problem. And this is something that just has to be corrected.
And what was the reaction of the people attending this National Cattlemen's Beef Association meeting?
Well, a lot of people were upset about it because at this meeting you had both cattle feeders and you also had ranchers, which don't use the product. This would only be used in the last late stages of feeding. And why has it all of a sudden gotten bad this summer when the products have been around for a while? And I think it's because there's just been a wider adoption of it this summer, and this is the first year with a really wide adoption that product is being used very, very widely and during the hot weather.
Is it because of the drought?
Well, of course, you know, corn prices are sky high. There's a shortage of cattle. You know, that's going to motivate people to use it. You know, I just was in a seminar this morning in Garden City, had a very good, listened to a very good talk from an economist, and he said corn prices are going to come back down, then people might be motivated less to use it.
Well, is corn the way we generally fatten up the cattle?
Yes. Corn is a standard feed for fattening cattle, and it's been the standard feed for fattening cattle ever since the 60s.
Now, do you believe there's a way to use these drugs without sacrificing the well-being of the animals that take them?
I think they could be used very carefully. In the pig industry, they've used ractopamine, sold as Paline, for 10 years or more now, and they had to lower the doses. They had to lower the doses from 18 grams per ton to 9 grams per ton to 4.5 grams per ton of feed. And they're probably, I think in order to still use these products, they're going to have to lower the dose and probably not use it in the summertime. There also seems to be an interaction with certain types of cattle genetics. There's differences in feed intake. You know, a lot of cattle, when you first put them on this product, and this is some Kansas State University research, they reduce the amount of feed they ate. But there's other cattle that just keep on eating it, so they're going to get a higher dose.
What are beta agonists? How do they work?
Well, actually, beta agonists are the same as asthma medications, like albuterol. That's a beta agonist.
So they're used to treat asthma in humans?
Yes, they're used to treat asthma in humans, and a common side effect is, you know, cold feet. And what beta agonists do is they vasodilate the blood vessels where the lungs and the heart are, but there's a tendency to vasoconstrict out in the extremities. So what might be happening to these cattle is you're restricting the blood flow to their feet, and that could be damaging the tissue that attaches the hoof to the furry part of the leg. And, of course, humans aren't getting probably as high a dose. I'm not sure about that, but there seem to be some groups of cattle, especially in cooler weather, that are fed these products, and they seem to be perfectly okay. So I think people have asked me flat out, well, should they be banned? And I say, I'm not going to go so far as to say they'll be banned, but the problems that are showing up at the plant have got to be solved. Like maybe there's certain kinds of cattle you don't feed it to. Maybe in the summer we don't use it. Maybe it interacts with certain types of feed and cattle genetics. But there's problems showing up at the plants that are clearly not acceptable. These animals are in pain, and that has to stop.
Temple, I'm always curious to find out how something that is an asthma drug winds up even being tested on an animal. How did anyone know that this might fatten up cattle?
I really don't know. But, you know, one thing's been found out in pharmaceuticals is there's a lot of old drugs that they're discovering new uses for many, many different kinds of diseases. There's actually been research that shows that aspirin seems to have anti-cancer effects. I mean, no one would have ever dreamed that.
Well, are there other types of beta agonists besides Zilmax?
Yes, there's a ractopamine that's sold to the pig industry as Paylene, sold to the cattle industry as Optiflex. It's a milder product. It doesn't put quite as much weight gain on. And that had been around for a while, and these big problems didn't show up. Now, I have no way of knowing, watching at the plant, which product the cattle are on. All I can say is that the type of sore-footedness and stiff gait and reluctance to move I never saw prior to the introduction of beta agonists. And I've worked for years on making slaughterhouses more humane. And the thing that upsets me is the plants have really worked hard on really doing things right. And now we're getting cattle that we can't handle and have got a big, huge welfare problem. And it's going to have to be fixed back at the farm.
And so Zilmax was perhaps the most powerful of these drugs.
Yes. Zilmax is more powerful than ractopamine, which is a brand name of Optiflex for cattle and Paylene for pigs.
But Merck is the maker of Zilmax, is the only one to have pulled any of these drugs off the marketplace so far. Now, are they being, you mentioned pigs. What about birds? I mean, are they being used on turkeys and other foods as well?
I think there's been some experimentation on poultry. I know in chickens it's not being used.
The first thing that comes to many people's minds when we talk about this sort of thing is, what about the quality and safety of the meat that is coming from these cows?
Well, food safety, as far as I know, there's absolutely no problem with food safety. But there is some problems with meat quality, especially toughness. And if you'd like to look some of that literature up, go to Google and type in PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, and bring up the PubMed National Institutes for Medicine database. It has its own search box. Type in beta agonists and tenderness, and type in the different products, which are Zilpanerol, which is a generic name for Zilmax, and ractopamine. And you will find a whole bunch of scientific papers that shows that it does toughen the meat. You know, I've always said quality and quantity, two opposing goals.
My guest is Temple Grandin, professor of animal science at Colorado State University. She is a well-known livestock industry consultant and somebody who has always been concerned about the humane treatment of animals. Does this make the humane facilities you've helped design less effective?
Oh, yeah, definitely makes them less effective. These animals have difficulty walking. They're in pain. Some of these cattle will rock back and forth because it hurts them to put their weights down. They walk really oddly with their head down. And, again, I want to say there are some groups of cattle fed these products that seem to be fine, but in the cattle that get affected, their welfare is very severely affected. And, yes, it is going to make the facilities less effective because their feet are hurting and they act like they have sore muscles. And some of these animals don't want to walk. And one of the things I'm working with right now with some of the slaughter plants is a reluctance to move scoring system. You know, I worked on doing a scoring system for humane slaughter with things like stunning efficacy, vocalization. And these poor, painful animals don't tend to vocalize. They just stand silently and suffer. And the plants would start measuring reluctance to move and then go back on the feed yards and say, you know, this is not acceptable. You better feed less of it or not feed it to this type of cattle.
Well, I'm assuming that if some cattle are affected, even the ones that don't show any effects probably are being affected to some degree.
Yeah, and with a lot of drugs, and even true with aspirin, you know, a little bit of aspirin is good. You take too much aspirin, you can die of gastric bleeding. And this drug probably has a strong dose response, and that may interact with some cattle genetics. It might interact with the type of feed the cattle get. There's a lot of different roughages that are fed to cattle. But the bottom line is, if cattle come into the plant sore-footed, this is not acceptable. And the problem tends to worsen as the cattle move through the system. In other words, you've got to take the cattle out of the feedlot pan when they're fat, load them on the truck goes to the plant, you unload them at the plant, and then you have to take them out and walk them in the alley for antemortem inspection by the veterinarian at the plant, and then they go up the chute. And as they move through this process, they tend to get worse.
Now, the FDA has approved these drugs for asthma. Have they approved them for feeding animals as well?
Yes, it is approved for feeding animals. When they did their trials, these problems didn't seem to show up. Because if you did the trials, I don't know when they did the trials, but if you did them during the wintertime, you would tend to not see this problem. And it seems to affect different cattle differently.
Well, what led Merck to pull Zilmax from the market?
Well, the Tyson made their announcement, and one of the Tyson plants had a very bad, bad situation that happened. The cattle got so affected that some hoof shells actually fell off of a whole bunch of cattle, 21 head of cattle.
They fell off?
Yes, and because beta agonists will vasoconstrict the feet and the legs, and the same way that adrenaline will vasoconstrict the blood in the human forearm, and that starved the blood supply going to the tissue that attaches the foot to the furry part of the leg, and it caused some hooves to come off. And of course, people were absolutely shocked. Now a lot of people say, well, that couldn't be the beta agonist. All I can say is I've been in cattle for 40 years, and these types of problems never occurred prior to beta agonists going on the market. Now, the other thing that seems to be happening, because plants are reporting in, is that plants more eastern in the United States, where it's mostly farmer feeders and they're not using it, they don't seem to be reporting these problems. And plants that are in the more western areas, big feed yards, have reported these problems. And I think another problem is high corn prices are really going to motivate feedlot managers to use these products because they're going broke buying corn. I was very happy to hear that corn prices are going to come back down.
Now, Merck, as you say, pulled Zilmax because Tyson, one of the
large... I can't say why. No.
Well, we're assuming it came a week after Tyson, one of the largest meat processing companies in the country, told cattle suppliers it would no longer purchase animals that are being fed Zilmax. So we have industry decisions forcing the change in the way that cattle are being fed. Do you think the government should be getting more involved?
Well, somehow when they did the trials, this wasn't showing up. You see, the thing is, let's say they just tested the cattle at the feed yard, you know, for mobility and things like that. They may have been all right. My student went out to a feed yard, and she looked at some Brahmin cross cattle, which actually are a heat-tolerant breed. They were fed Zilmax, and when they loaded onto the trucks to go to the plant, they seemed to be perfectly okay. But unfortunately, they didn't really want us to look at them at the plant. So I don't know what they did when they got to the plant, but they were okay when they loaded.
Well, you said that this seems to be only a problem in the West. Are these drugs being used in other parts of the world?
A lot of countries have banned them. They're allowed in Canada. I think there's about 10 countries where they're allowed, but there's a lot of countries where they are banned.
Well, you said that you're not calling for a ban. What would you like to see done?
Well, I think we need to be doing reluctance move scoring at the plants. I think doses are probably going to have to be lowered. The pig industry had to lower the doses.
They lowered it twice, you said.
They halved it again. Yep, they lowered it two different times because they were having all kinds of really bad problems. and they very quickly went in and lowered it. Now, you see, Zilmax originally was invented by a company called Innervet, which was an independent company, and Merck bought that company. And when they did the drug registration, this is just what people tell me, they didn't put in there for flexibility of dosing. Because I think to solve some of these problems, you're going to have to lower the dose, just like they had to do with ractopamine.
Now, Temple, you've been on our show a number of times to talk about other things altogether, mostly in connection to books that you have written. Are you working on another book?
Well, one of the big things I'm concerned about today is things in the schools where they've taken all the hands-on classes out. You know, kids are not learning practical problem-solving skills. We're getting more and more people that have gotten away from what I call real stuff, getting away from what's actually happening in the field. And I think that concerns me.
And that's the next thing you'll be writing about, I assume.
Well, it's something I've been talking about a lot. And, you know, you look at how the government fights and it's all polarized. And programmers have a really good word for that.
Temple, we got to leave it there, unfortunately. Temple Grandin, professor of animal science at Colorado State University. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
It was great to be there.